I hope it's apparent this evening that our theme is to be set free. May God bless us tonight as we celebrate the freedoms that we have in this country and as Christians through the message of the gospel. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to our text for this evening. That's the reading, the short reading that Pastor shared with us a moment ago from John chapter 8. If you're a visitor with us tonight, and I know we do have visitors, if you're a visitor tonight and don't have a Bible at home, we encourage you to take one of the pew Bibles as our gift to you so that you can read and study God's precious word, so that you may be free in Christ Jesus. These are not the lessons, the ones that Pastor shared with us just a moment ago, that were normally picked for this particular weekend of the church year. It's a little bit different to have the 4th of July stuck in the middle of the week. It seems like most of the time it's a little earlier in the week or a little later in the week, so it kind of naturally falls on one weekend or the other. This weekend, we've decided to pick these lessons because, of course, you've just heard they all speak about freedom. Isaiah in the Old Testament said, God has appointed me to proclaim freedom. And isn't that what Paul says to the Galatians, to the Christians in Galatia? He says, God has set you free. You are free in Christ Jesus. And that's the message that Jesus speaks in John chapter 8. If you flip through some of the pages in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 7, we see Jesus preaching and teaching in the synagogue, in the temple. Jesus had been preaching and teaching, and as he did, people believed. They heard the word that he proclaimed, the love of God that he shared with all the world, and God's Spirit worked in those hearts and in those minds, and in those souls, so that many came to believe. Actually, it's the verse just before our text for today in John chapter 8, verse 30. As Jesus spoke, many put their faith in him. Many came to believe that Jesus was the Christ, the one sent by God, the Messiah, the one who had long been foretold, the prophet for whom they had waited through the centuries. Jesus was that one. Jesus had come, Emmanuel, God among us, to bring freedom. They believed, and then our text begins in verse 31. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus set his disciples free to serve. As they were gathered in the temple courts, as they came to him, there were a whole mixed group of people, some who didn't believe, some who wanted his very life, some who were looking for an opportunity to persecute and literally to kill him. And there were others around him, by God's grace, by God's doing, who came to believe in him. A couple of the songs that we just sang, especially the ones at the beginning of the service, were beautifully tied with the theme tonight. I am in bondage and cannot free myself. Lord Jesus, you have freed me. And that's what Jesus was saying to those who believed in him. If you hold my teachings, if you believe what I say, if you live according to the word of God, then you will be free. You will be my disciples, and you'll be free to live and serve me. Well, what did even those who believed in him respond? They said, well, Lord, you know, we're the children of Abraham, and we've never been bound by anything. How can you think? Why would you say that we're in shackles somehow? Why do you think that we need to be free? Jesus knew their need. You know, it's amazing to me, it's ironic to me that these people would say, we have always been free. Well, yeah, if you don't pay any attention to history. Why would these people say such a thing when they'd been held captive, their people had, for hundreds of years in Egypt? And then for years and years in Babylon, and they were currently held captive. At the moment they were speaking to Jesus and he speaking to them, they were under captivity. They were slaves to Rome. So why in the world would the people say such things? You know, they didn't politically think about what they were saying, but even more importantly, they weren't aware of spiritually the captivity under which they found themselves. Jesus wasn't talking about political freedom, but what he was talking about was spiritual freedom. And if they were blinded to their political situation, how would they have eyes to be able to see their spiritual condition? And that's why Jesus spoke to them. That's why Jesus says in our text, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son, a child, belongs to the family forever. So if the Son, Jesus, if I, set you free," he says, "then you will be free indeed." How wonderfully, divinely ironic it is that the God of the universe comes in human form in the person and work of Jesus. Jesus, never bound by anything, Jesus filling the expanse of heaven, filling the expanse of all that was created, and beyond that, captive to nothing, limited by nothing, Jesus allows himself to come in human form. And then Jesus, who is captive to nothing, allows himself to become a captive. He gives himself over into the hands of wicked men who tie him up, who bind him, who persecute him, who spit on him, who eventually and finally nail him to the cross. God Almighty, God filling all the universe in the person of Jesus, allowing himself to be bound to free those who are bound by sin and death and the power of the devil. Those who believed in him but didn't understand, Jesus helps them to know. He's come for them. They are bound by sin and death and the power of the devil. They're bound by their own blindness, unable to see their own condition. Jesus helps them to identify that condition, and more than that, he gives himself to be their Savior. He comes to be bound so that they could be free. So, brothers and sisters, it's a neat lesson. It's good, and it fits this theme and this season for freedom and bondage. But what does it have to do with you and me? How does it fit our lives? Well, what is it that binds you? What is it that holds you captive? You know, you might say, "Well, Pastor, we're Americans. Nothing binds us. After all, we are the children of the revolution. We are the children who are free. Aren't we free? Are we?" We're really not. Because we are bound too by our own blindness. The blindness we have to our own sins, our own failures and shortcomings. And you know what sin is? Sin is missing the mark. Sin is being imperfect in any way, because God calls us to be perfect in every way. "As I am perfect," he says, "so you also should be perfect." None of us is perfect. We know that, and if you don't know that, just look at somebody around you. They will remind you you're not perfect in loads of ways. We all know that. So what is it that binds us? First of all, and certainly, it is our own blindness to our own sin. I've listed a few for you on the screen. Our own selfishness, our own self-centeredness, our own desire to turn in on ourselves. After all, aren't I the most important? And don't you feel that way so often? You may not say it, but isn't that the way we often live our lives? Some of us are bound by addictions of various sorts to drugs or alcohol or whatever else it might be. We're bound by our own pride. Being first and best and greatest is often a part of who we really are. Our greed, our desire to serve ourselves, maybe it's such things as pornography. Others that I didn't list, are you sometimes bound by fear or worry or trouble or challenge or concern? So often, many of these things bind us. And when they do, we are not free. We are slaves to these things, slaves certainly to sin and death and the power of the devil. We may think ourselves free, but so often we recognize we aren't free and we're slaves. And what do we need? We need the same thing that those first hearers of Jesus needed. We need the Savior. And the Savior has come for us too. He didn't allow himself to be bound and persecuted and die on the cross and rise again only for those first century hearers. He did it for you and for me. And in Christ, we are free. He was bound to break our chains, and Jesus has done just that. In his resurrection, in his coming to life again, he substitutes himself for us. And his freedom becomes ours. His sinlessness becomes ours. His connection with the Father becomes our reconnection with the Father. And brothers and sisters, when you hold to his teachings, you are truly his disciples, and it sets you free. You are free from sin and death and the power of the devil. He gives us that reassurance. He gives us help all along the way, and he does so in his precious word. If you hold to my teachings, if you believe what I teach, if you believe the Holy Scriptures, then you are truly my disciples, Jesus says, and that sets you free. As we trust in his precious word, as we believe what he tells us, we can be free. And he gives us the sacraments. We come, as Luther said, daily to the waters of our baptism, refreshed in those waters, and that knowing in Christ Jesus, we are free, free to live for him. We come to his table tonight to receive the bread and wine in, with, and under them, the very body and blood of Jesus. Setting us free from sin and death and the power of the devil, giving us the strength that we need to live as his disciples. Come tonight, for it's prepared for you. Jesus sets the table himself so that you would receive. We're free to receive his blessed gifts. The message of the gospel is ours. The power of the word lives in us. For Jesus' sake, through the work of the Holy Spirit, so that we can truly be his disciples. If you listen to my word, if you hold to my teaching, you are my disciples and you are free, free to live for him. There is nothing more freeing, nothing more exciting, nothing more powerful than being a disciple of Christ, a believer in him, and living in the freedom that he gives. May that freedom and that confidence, and that joy, and that power, and that excitement be yours in Christ Jesus. He lived and died and lives again for you, that you might be in him and him in you. And when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who sets us free to be his people, his disciples. Amen.